Hey there, and welcome to Soul Church. Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life. We've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
2024, we declared as the year of the... This is our passage and our word for the year. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. See, Soul Church, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. We declared an open door over every family, over every marriage, over every business, over every individual in our church. We declared this is the year of the open door. So I want to kick off a brand new series today called The Open Door. The Open Door. Now, throughout our lives, we travel through thousands, tens of thousands of doors. Some of them are really insignificant. And some of them are significant doors. I remember walking through the headmaster's door frequently at first school and middle school and high school, and it wasn't for commendations. I remember opening the door for Chantel to get in the car on our first date. I remember locking it when she wanted to get out. I'm kidding. She's like, yeah, that was true. I remember picking up Chantel and carrying her through the doors of our first home. She said, never put me down. I had to. I remember walking out of Mason Road on February the 18th for the final time. Who remembers walking out for the final time through the door? And I remember walking through the doors on March the 2nd. Well, it certainly wasn't for the first time, but for the first time as a service and our church family here. And I also remember as I walked through the doors looking back and seeing a rainbow. Yes. Does anyone remember that moment, seeing that rainbow? Have we got that picture? God's covenant. Beautiful. That picture of the rainbow, the cross and the rainbow. The very first time we poured oil on the ground here and prayed, God stuck a cross in the sky as a cloud. The day we opened the door, he placed a rainbow, a sign of peace. The meaning of the rainbow, the sign of peace, God's covenant towards man. What's the first thing God did after the storm with Noah? Put a rainbow in the sky. And he said, now you're entering a season of peace and rest. And God said, hey, John, the storm's over. Now I'm going to place a rainbow in the air to remind you we're entering into a season of peace and rest after everything's gone. So doors are so significant. And we all have memories of doors in our lives. Some are happy memories. Some are maybe sad memories. But doors are how we get from one place to another. A door separates one room, one place from another. Doors in the Bible are very important metaphors. Doors are mentioned over 400 times in Scripture. Open doors in the Bible give us access to something, and closed doors in Scriptures means we don't have access. Now, if you have chosen Jesus Christ, give me a wave, to be your Lord and Savior. Give me a wave. If you have chosen Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, great choice. You walk through a door. Because the Lord is our doorkeeper. The Lord is our doorkeeper. I want us to say that out loud. The Lord is our doorkeeper. We didn't do that very well. Let's try that again. Are you ready? The Lord is my doorkeeper. So when you made a decision to become a follower of Christ, this is what you did. You gave King Jesus permission to be the doorkeeper of your life, which means he has permission to let things into your life and he has permission to close things out of your life. Now that is a very, very interesting proposition. We have given him the authority to open and close doors in our lives. Let's back one verse up. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 says, he who has the key of David, talking about Jehovah, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door that no one can trust, that no one can shut. So that means if you truly trust Jesus as your doorkeeper, he's going to sometimes let you have access to things in life, and there's sometimes he's going to deny you access. Alan, where's Alan Cooper? He'll be running around somewhere, but he is the doorkeeper in our church. In fact, this little lady, just take that off from around your neck, sorry, because this is the all-access pass. Thanks, Mel. Thank you. Okay, this is an all-access pass. So you probably noticed there's access control areas in this church, and the volunteers and staff and team, they have these passes. I couldn't even get into my own office on Tuesday. Standing there like a lemon at the door. But Jesus is the doorkeeper. Jesus has the access control of our lives. It says he, it's interesting, verse 7 says it's he who has the key. Jesus has the key to unlock the doors of our life because he is the doorkeeper. The key that has the potential, this key has the potential, you take your notes, this key has the potential to unlock four things in your life if you give God permission. And all beginning with P, purpose, provision, protection, and peace. They're the things that God gives you if you allow him to be your doorkeeper. And let me tell you, life is very miserable without any of those four things. Imagine living without purpose, without provision, without protection, and without peace. He is the doorkeeper. So today we are going to give, by the way, I'm going to keep that. Today we're going to give our doorkeeper, King Jesus, permission to do three things in our lives. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do this. You've got to choose to give permission because you have to give permission. These are three things I've given King Jesus permission to do in my life, and I want to encourage you to do the same. And at the end, we're going to publicly, if you feel comfortable, give King Jesus permission to these three all-access areas of your life. Now, do not commit to this if you do not trust him. This is really important. Do not commit to this today unless you trust Jesus. Because every week, before you go to school, university, college, work, Tesco's, I want you to say these three things. Okay, so I want you to write these down, and for the next 7 days, I want you to write these three things down. The message is titled today, Permission at the Door. Permission at the Door. This is the first permission we're going to give to King Jesus. Permission number one, Lord, open the door. Lord, open the door. Revelation 3:7 says, he who opens and no one shuts. God, I give you permission to open doors in my life. Maybe you're in a room of brokenness. Maybe you're in a room of depression. Maybe you are in a room of unemployment. Maybe you are in a room of sadness. King Jesus, we give you full permission to open the door of freedom, of blessing, of joy, of health in my life. King Jesus, I give you permission. I'm stuck in a dark room, and I give you permission to shine your light into my life. Maybe there's been doors in your life that have been closed for a long time. King Jesus, I give you permission to open that door this week. Psalm 24:7 says, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, ready for this, you ancient doors. Ancient. I wonder if there's some ancient prayers that haven't been answered in your life. Who's got an ancient prayer that's not been answered yet? I've got some ancient prayers. Sometimes our request feels so ancient because we haven't said them for so long. Doors that have been closed in your family line for generations. Maybe things that have been shut out. Maybe you've been dealing with addictions or depression or low self-esteem. And King Jesus, you are welcome. I give you permission today to open the doors of freedom in my life. I believe that ancient gates are going to open this year in people's lives. Ancient gates. Ancient gates. Be lifted up, you ancient gates, you ancient doors, things that have been so old and you feel like so laborious, saying the same thing. God, I just need you to come, and you're saying the same, but be lifted up, you ancient gates. There's some ancient prayers that have been prayed, and God says, I'm going to lift up those gates and move in. These ancient gates on the front of Heartsease Lane had been closed for 18 years. They were rusting. There they are. I took that photo a few weeks ago. ancient gates, 18 years, those gates had been closed to the church building. But then on March the 2nd, the King of Glory came back on in. The King of Glory. You see, sometimes people have been praying for 18 years. Pastor Trevor's here today. 18 years. Where's Trevor? There he is, right there, Trevor and George. 18 years, old ancient gates. We drove past and nothing seemed to change. And on March the 2nd, those ancient gates were literally lifted up because we got rid of them. We chucked them away. And the King of Glory came in. You see, don't give up on God. Don't give up just because you've prayed 100 times, 1,000 times. It could be a tipping point prayer where God says, I'm going to move the ancient gates in your life. And the King of Glory, the King Jesus, will come into that situation. Doors that have been shut for your family. Chains that have limited your family for generations have been broken. Interestingly, David says in this passage twice, he says, lift them up, the ancient gates. I believe double doors produce double blessing. Twice he says it. Be lifted up, you ancient gates. Twice. I believe there's a double blessing coming on you. Don't just settle for a single blessing. There is a double blessing coming on you. I expect more because my God is good. Psalm 107:16 says, he broke down the gates of bronze and he cut their two bars of iron. You probably noticed the gates are gone. You say, why did you remove the gates? Because they reminded me of the past. They reminded me of the past. When this site was locked down, so be lifted up, you ancient gates, and the King of Glory will come in. Maybe you've struggled with sickness. Maybe you've struggled with depression. I believe chains are going to break today. Every thought which told you, you'll have to live with it. I see an open door. The devil has told someone in here, at least one or two people, you'll have to live with it. God is saying, you ancient gates are going to be lifted up, and the King of Miracles, the King of Glory, will come into that situation. I believe God's going to unlock some things in your life that have been limiting you. Doors that have looked impossible are going to suddenly open. A door to freedom, a door to healing, a door to blessing is going to open, a door to promotion. Some of you have been stuck in dead-end job for years, and you're saying, God, where is my life going? And God is saying, I'm about to lift up the ancient gates, the things that are wearing you down, the things that are rusty in your life, the things that seem like they will never move. And by the way, we don't have to force these doors, they're automatic doors. You probably realize when you come in off the street, they're automatic doors. And by the way, these doors don't have handles because God's the doorkeeper. You ain't got to push and pull and kick and shove. And God's saying, no, you just allow me to open the doors and you will just walk through the doors. These are automatic doors. Can I be really honest? I was kind of in two minds whether I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because we're not online. Anytime I've ever forced anything with this building, it's hurt me. It's hurt me relationally. It's hurt us. It's called striving. The majority of money raised for this project came from unforced conversations where God, the Holy Spirit, nudged people to do it. The moment I was chasing people and, come on, you need to do this, it's like it was all in my strength. But you know when you're just walking with God, he does what God does best and what I do worst. And some of you have been kicking that door, you've been banging on it, you've had a sledgehammer on it, and you've been trying to pull that door and push that door, and God says, you step away from the door, it's an automatic door, and in my time, you're gonna walk through that door, and the King of Glory is gonna come into that situation. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, and let the King of Glory. You know, there's something awesome about when God opens a door, because he gets the glory. Do you know how many bids we put in for this building, statutory bids? I mean, the fundraising team, Susie, they've done a phenomenal job, but next to nothing, literally next to nothing. And it's nothing about their ability. God just wanted to say, I want to show you how I do it my way. Be lifted up. There's something about when God opens a door in your life. You know, people ask me all the time, can you promote my thing? My song, my album, my book. I can promote your thing, but when God promotes you, it will go way, way further than Soul Church promotes you or John Norman promotes you. I believe some of you have been striving and striving, pushing and pushing. And God's saying, just take a step back. Stay humble. Stay close to me. Stay close to my heart. God will open the doors. God always gets you to where you need to be. You don't have to worry. You just have to trust. I also believe this. This is a word I believe, is that new doors mean new neighbors. Who knows, when you move into a new house, you get a new neighbor. Sometimes it works in your favor, and sometimes you have to work on that favor. I believe that God is going to open, and this is more prophetic today, but when you go through an open door, it's very likely you're going to find yourself in a new place with new people around you. I believe that when this happens, God is going to bring new people into your life. Some of you, God is going to remove people from your life because they're ancient people and they're holding you back. And God is bringing new people, new friendship circles, new relationships around you. And when this happens, I'm seeing blessing, big spirited people. I'm seeing power relationships that are going to come alongside you, kingdom connections. There is a new doors mean new neighbors of relationship. Get ready for that. 2 Corinthians 2:12. I love this. It says, the Lord has opened a door for me. What a powerful scripture. The Lord has opened a door for me. I want us to say this out loud in faith. I don't want you to say it where you're at. I want you to say it in faith. The Lord has opened a door for me. For me. It's personal. Permission number one, Lord, open the door. Now, that was a really fun one, and you might not like the next one. Permission number two, King Jesus, Lord, close the door. Oh, we're good with open doors, open blessings, double blessings, ancient, we're good with all that. Now, the second permission, say, King Jesus, if you need to, you can close the door. Verse 7 of Revelation 3 says, he who opens and no one shuts. We love that bit, but the second half of the scripture says this, and shuts and no one opens. If we give King Jesus permission to be the doorkeeper of our life, he is going to shut some things out of our lives, he's going to close some doors, and it may not be comfortable at times. And this is a difficult and a dangerous permission. Because often it will go against how we feel. We want the job, we want the relationship, we want to move countries, we want to visit that website, we want to leave the church. Then out of nowhere, the door slams shut. And we blame everyone. We blame the pastor, we blame the cat, we'll blame anyone we can for the door that slams shut. There are some doors that need to close in our lives if we give God permission to be the doorkeeper. Now, I want you to write these three things down. When we give King Jesus permission to be the doorkeeper, it means three things. If you give King Jesus permission to be the doorkeeper of your life, it will mean three things when it comes to closed doors. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have towards you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. This is what it means if you give him permission to close doors in your life. Number one, it means his purpose for me over my desires. His purpose over my desires. For I know the plans I have for you. Now, you haven't been to church before. What I'm going to say might weird you out a little bit, but just hold on. God sees past our present. Okay? God can see past your present. He is the Alpha, which means he is the start of your life. He is the Omega. He is the end of your life. He can see every single day choreographed in our lives. God can see past the present into our future, which means what? God knows what's best for us. God knows what's best. And something else which is really hard to imagine is this, that God knows us better than we know us. God knows every thought we've ever had, we're having, and we will ever have. But when we ask God and we give him permission, say, God, if you need to in my life, you can close the door. It means his purpose over my desires. Desires are not wrong, but our desires need to align themselves with his purpose. And when our desires are in contrast to his purpose, we can give God permission to close the door. And if you give him permission, he will do it. And it will be uncomfortable. But it's what's best for our lives. The second area this door means is this. It means his protection over my enemies. When you give King Jesus permission to close the door in your life, you are giving him room to protect you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Who knows that when you left home this morning, I'm pretty sure you didn't leave your door wide open. Would we all agree? And I'm pretty sure, on the other hand, you locked your door. You shut and locked the door because you didn't want anyone coming into your house, your apartment, during church. So a shut door means God is protecting you. What is the reason we shut the door? It's because we want our possessions, our family, our loved ones protected. God often closes doors in our lives because he sees things that have the potential to harm us, and he says, I am closing that door in order to protect you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And so God sometimes says, you know what? I'm just going to have to close that door. Sometimes my children, they ask me. Last night, my son asked me if he could have some chocolate. This was 10:30 at night. He will try it on, that boy. My daughter will cut up a piece of fruit, and my son is in the treat box. Daddy can, well, who knows that at 10:30 at night, not sure harm's the right word, but it's not good for you, is it? Some of you are like, yeah, it is. It's exactly what I was doing at 10:30 last night. But for a child's teeth and for their well-being and their sleep, so what do I do? I shut the door on the snack tray, on the treat box, because I know what's best for our children. A shut door means God is protecting you. It means his protection over my enemies. The third thing a shut door means, it means his divine plan over my master plan. And this is big. God has a divine plan for our life, even though we have a master plan. Who has a master plan for your week? Who's a scheduler? You're a scheduler. You like things in order. Where's all the free-flowing people? Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. We're going to Wembley. Anyway, that's for a different story. The boys are flying. You know, we have a master plan, but God has a divine plan. Can I be really honest? Because this is Honest Sunday. Now you're getting the real John. The master plan for this building and the divine plan are very different. Let me tell you a few things about the master plan, which was the architects and Chantel and I and Richard and the team. We had a master plan. The master plan was this: a kids' indoor play area. The divine plan was the ark. Just a little tweak. But we had a sort of ball pit and sort of everything you'd see. And God said, no, I want you to bring the ark, because this is a divine plan. When I was preaching on the ark a few months ago, God spoke to us and said, no, that's the divine plan. When children come in, they're not just playing on apparatus. They're actually on the ark. We want to ask questions. We want to see the rainbow and the dove. We want to see the scripture. It's a divine plan. So sometimes we have a master plan and God comes in with his divine plan. We had a master plan. We were where the supermarket is, that was going to be our Christian bookstore. Woo! A bookshop to feed Christians. And God says, I've got a divine plan. I want to feed the hungry. Yes. So we had a master plan. We're going to have a Christian bookstore. Whee! And God says, no, I've got a divine plan. I want you to feed the hungry in this community. See, we had a master plan. We had some storage space over in that vicinity on the ground floor. And the divine plan was to create changing places, a space to provide dignity for our disabled community. in this area. See, God always has a divine plan if you allow him to override your master plan. But it's difficult, isn't it? Because we want to do it our way. Frank Sinatra saying, I'll do it my way. And that's how we like to do it. We like to do it our way. And God says, yeah, that's your master plan. And you can, by the way, the master plan, you can keep doing it. God will not shut the door unless you give him permission. But if you say, God, I allow you to shut the door before I move country, before I move churches, before I leave this marriage, before I do, that's my master plan. But God, I want to be in your divine plan. So God, I need to show you, show me, am I in the divine plan, will of God for my life? And all you have to do is give him permission. His divine plan is greater than our master plan. Closed doors are actually preparation for open doors. They're actually preparation. I could have started on closed doors, but it was a bit of a negative. But actually, sometimes God has to close doors in order to open doors. The old church doors had to sadly be closed for these doors to be open. Now, do we understand the why? Do we understand the pain and the grief and the 18 years and all the pressure that came with that? We don't. All we know is a closed door meant an open door. And sometimes God has to close doors in our lives in one season to open new doors in another. Who agrees red lights are just as effective as green lights? Probably not. Who loves a green light? There's nothing more heartwarming than driving down the road and you think you're just about to stop and it just slides on green and you just save a whole 40 seconds of your day. And then there's nothing more frustrating. I mean, I think there's about 10 red lights between our house if we come down the ring road. It's like one. If you hit one, you are hitting them all. So it's either going to take us 20 minutes to get to church or 15, depending on the... You're good. Do you know, without red lights, it would be carnage on the ring road. Without red lights in our lives, it would be carnage. Sometimes red lights in our lives are actually delayed green lights. Looking back over my life, I am so grateful to God for closing the door. God closed the door on me being a police officer when I was 18, and that's been a good move for everybody. I was just trying to imagine me as a police officer during COVID. Moving on. 2014, Chantal and I were going to move to San Francisco and start a church. And God closed the door. We went with high hopes. We spied out the land. We were excited. It was a big city. It was vibrant. So much need. And the very next day, God said, nope, closed door. Just literally closed the door. 2015, many of you don't know this, but a property company came in for this land and a developer offered us millions to develop this land. Tempting. I'm not going to be honest, it was tempting. But God closed the door. He said, no, John, one day. And we didn't even think about rebuilding it. He just said, hang on to that land because one day you're going to need it. God closed the door. I think God is saying today to someone, don't jump the lights. Someone needs to hear this today. Don't jump the lights. Because I've been at traffic lights when someone's jumped them. And we've all seen what's happened. God is speaking clearly today to somebody in here to say, do not jump the lights. Do not go before I say go. God is saying to someone here today, it's a red light. God's red light is often a green light in disguise. God is saying, you've got to trust me. You've got to trust me. Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. This is just before the ark went onto the water. It says, and God closed the door. And God closed the door. I want us to say this out loud. And God close the door. God, I give you permission, number one, to open the door. And number two, God, I give you permission to close the door. This is difficult, by the way. It's easy in church. We're having a little bit of fun on the way, but this isn't easy. Because tomorrow you might have to ask God to close a door on a situation, on a deal, in business, in a contract, and you're saying, but it doesn't make any sense. And God says, just trust me. Lord, open the door. Lord, close the door. Permission number three, and finally, Lord, keep evil away from my door. Lord, keep evil away from my door. We are giving King Jesus permission to guard and protect our lives and families. Genesis 4:7 says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, this is a difficult verse, but look at this. It says, sin lies at the door. And its desire for you, but you should rule over it. Next week, I'm doing a message called Trapdoors. It's going to be a good series, by the way. This isn't like school fun. This is going to be good. This is adult stuff. We're going to hit some things next week. You do not want to miss church next week. I'm going to talk about trapdoors, the things, the traps the enemy lays for God's children to walk over and walk into. But Lord, keep evil away from my door. But you should rule over it. How do we rule over it? King Jesus gives permission for us to ask him to protect our door. Revelation 3:8, our verse for the day, says, I have set before you. Don't let the devil take what God has set for you. If I'm honest, sometimes we go to a restaurant. Who knows, the kids' food always comes out first and it always looks better. You're like, that's $4.95 and mine's whatever. And they've got chicken tenders and chips and beans. And I'm like, sometimes I'll be honest, the table's set and I just pinch a chip. I call it dad tax. Dad tax. I'll tell you what dad tax is. That's for all the times I've run them around and they've burst in my room in the middle of the night because they couldn't sleep. So I call it dad tax. But how often does the enemy want to steal in our lives what God has set for you? And it's interesting what it says in Genesis. It says it lies at the door. I'm not sure if it means physically at our front door. I actually think it means in the door of our minds. It's in our minds. Sin starts in the mind. What the eye sees, the mind conceives and the body acts upon. But it starts and processes in the mind. I'm going to call this the war at the door. Because there is a war at our door every morning. And the enemy will say, don't get up today. Don't go to work today. You're not good enough to come to church. If people knew what you'd done, if people knew where you'd been, if people knew what you'd said. But Jesus, I give you permission to protect the door of my mind. How often the enemy wants to steal what God has set for you. The enemy wants to mess with the doors of our minds. And this is the challenge. We can't even enter what God opens. So God prepares something for us to walk into and the enemy just says, you're not good enough for that. You're not good enough. I still meet people who used to come to church and they will not come back because they don't think they're good enough because of the war at the door. We can't even enjoy the moments that God gives us because we're so worried about the enemy stealing them. You know, we can book a holiday and the enemy gets to the door and he says this, what happens if the plane crashes? It's real for some people. It's real. We're planning our Easter trips out and what if it rains? Thinking about doing some nice things with the kids over Easter and the war at the door was what? If you go to that park, what happens if it rains? Spend all that money to travel to London and it rains. What are you going to do? It's the war at the door. But King Jesus, I'm going to give you permission this week to protect the door of my mind. The devil loves to knock on the doors of our mind, hoping we'll open them. And the devil is so subtle that he sneaks in through the tiniest little cracks, the tiniest little things. It's often not the big things he gets us with, it's the small things. The devil at the door of our marriages. Maybe you got online this week and you opened a door you shouldn't have opened. Maybe you had a conversation this week with someone at work and you should never have opened the door of that conversation. Maybe you should have never got their phone number. And the devil's trying to get in through the door of your marriage. Maybe it's the devil at the door of your bedroom. And this is how the devil gets into your bedroom. He gets in with fear. The devil's name is fear. We lay in bed paralyzed, thinking about all the things we didn't get done, thinking about the things we did get done and we'd done them wrong, and all the things tomorrow which might get wrong, and we allow the enemy to enter the door of our bedroom. He comes into to our room with us and he lays with us. He talks to us. I'll be honest, last Sunday night, he snuck in my bedroom. How are we going to pay this mortgage? I believe the building was going to be paid in full. I've been declaring it and it hasn't happened yet. And the enemy of fear got in my mind. So even being a pastor, I'm being open. The enemy can sneak into your marriage. He can slip into your bedroom. What about the devil at the door of our dining table? You know, for me, that the devil gets in the tiniest little ways, and maybe it's for you. This is his strategy. This is his strategy for me at dinner times. Be there physically, but not relationally. Anyone be honest? Sometimes you're there physically, but you're not there relationally. Anyone ever present, but not present? We're sitting having dinner on Monday night, and Chantel said, John, you are here, but not here. But hit home. So I'm thinking about things 12 months' time. See, I'm a visionary. I'm a futurist. I can see things. So my mind moves from the present to the possible. Some of you wouldn't understand this, and many of you will, that some of us, we live in the possible, not the present, which is a very dangerous place to live because we're constantly looking at what could be possible. Sometimes it's the most incredible place to live because you can see things. You want to change things. I'm already thinking about how we can move things forward in this building. But maybe not, I'm not in the present. And the devil is so subtle. He comes in the tiniest little cracks in our lives and he wreaks havoc. I think the reason there's a devil at your door and my door is because of what God has on the other side of the door. I think God can see the potential in our lives. God can see the miracles. God can see the ancient doors being lifted up. God can see the King of Glory coming and moving in our lives. So guess what? The devil can see those things as well. So what does he do? He starts to mess with us at the door. The war at the door. I think there'll always be a devil at the door of anything important that God has for you. The night before we got married, April the 5th, 2006, we had a huge blow up, Chantel and I. I hope you don't mind me saying it. Oh, she's not there, even better. There's somebody at the door. We had a big argument, and I remember driving down through Helston, and we looked at each other and said, well, should we just give up? All the family were over, and you know, sometimes in the heat of the moment, you let the enemy through the cracks. And it was just pressure. It was just the pressure of everyone coming together. East LA meeting in rural Norfolk. But you see, the devil knew what was on the other side of the door. The devil knows what's on the other side of your door. The bigger the opportunity, sometimes the bigger the devil. So the devil comes in and we keep asking God, why am I having to go through all of this? And I think it's simply because of what's on the other side. 7 years of the devil at the door with this building. 7 years of having to say no to the wrong things and yes to the right things. Have you ever thought that the size of the devil at your door is the size of the assignment on your life? God has placed a huge assignment on your life. So guess what? That means there'll be a big devil at your door of your mind. I look at Chantel as a young girl through the pain and the rejection and all kinds of mistrust. She had the devil at her door. Why? Because of the assignment on the other side of the door. And last Sunday, we saw a page, Chantel. We saw a page of her assignment unfold. Can you see through the pain and the rejection that many of you are going through, there is a miracle. There is a purpose. There is a plan on the other side. If you just keep saying, God, I give you permission to open the door. God, I give you permission to close the door. And God, I give you permission to keep the devil outside of my door. I will not allow the devil in my mind, in my family, in my children. I'm making a decision today that the war at the door, that King Jesus, you have permission to protect my children in school. King Jesus, you have permission to protect my finances. King Jesus, you have permission to protect my mind. I put on the mind of Christ. King Jesus, I give you full permission to take control over every area of my life. Is there anyone today that would say, King Jesus, you have permission over every area of my life? In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I've got a word for someone today. Don't die at the door. Don't die at the door. Don't die at the door of your mind. Today you are renewing your mind with the words of Christ. Allow His light to shine on those dark spaces in Jesus' name. For some of you, there's a fourth permission. This isn't for everyone, but there's a fourth permission. And it's this, it's Lord, reveal to me the door of salvation. For many of you, as I saw at the start, you've walked through that door. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the door. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. True freedom, Soul Church, can only be found in Jesus. Right now, I'm going to ask for every head to be bowed, every eye to close. I want to offer you the greatest door that you'll ever walk through. You see that the open door, the closed door, the door of protection. It starts with the main door, which is Jesus. Maybe you think you're not good enough to have a relationship with God, or it's too late. Maybe you've drifted too far. Maybe you've been through many dark alleys, but God is saying to you today, I am the door. I have an open door for you. He stands at the door and knocks. He's there right now, and He loves you, my friend. Maybe it's your first time in church. Maybe you've been coming for a while. Maybe you've drifted. Maybe you've allowed the enemy to tell you you're not good enough for salvation. You're not good enough to be a Christian. And you're not good enough to stand in church. But somehow you dragged yourself in here today. You're saying today, John, I need Jesus to come and forgive me. Give me a new start, a new beginning. From the front to the back, left to the right, all over this room. Is what I'm going to ask you to do. Say, John, I need Jesus in my life. I want to become a follower of Christ today. All I want you to do is just simply slip up your hand long enough and high enough so I can see it. Might need you to leave it up a little bit longer today because it's such a big room. You're saying, John, pray for me. One, two, three. Just lift it up nice and high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Right at the back. God bless you. 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 So many hands. It's incredible. When you put every hand down, we're going to say this prayer out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. To forgive all my sin and failures. Thank you for rising from the dead. So that I can have a brand new start. Please come into my life and help me by the power of the Holy Spirit to trust and to live for you. Amen. Amen. Can we congratulate everyone who said that prayer? Our team are going to be out on the gantries. They're going to be out on the floor areas afterwards, and they want to give you a gift. So if you lifted up your hand, please don't just go. They'll hold them up nice and high. We want to give you a gift. It's the Gospel of Mark. We also want to give you some information about our church and help you. This is the first step. This is the first step on a new adventure with Jesus. And I just want to say how brave it is for you to put your hand up in such a large room like this. But I want you to know you've just gone through a door to new life. So. Now I want to pray for one more group of people. And you're saying, God, I want you to bring peace to the door of my house today. I want you to bring peace. How many of you got some doors that you need God to open? Where's all the open door people? You're saying, God, I need some doors to open. God, I need that door to open. It's an ancient door, but God, I need you to open it. Do you know what ancient doors do? They get so stiff and rusty and old and stop trying to open it. God is saying, let me lift them up. I'm going to lift them up. I'm going to lift them out of your situation. God wants to lift some people up. He lifted us out of the miry clay and he set our feet upon a rock. God wants to lift some people today. Now, who'd be honest? You're saying, God, I'll be honest. I need you to close some doors. I need you to close some doors. I don't like being, but this relationship I'm in, it's not healthy. I keep walking through that door and it's destructive. It's holding me back. God, I keep doing the same thing in this area of my work and I keep going to this same friendship circle and God, I'm going to need your help here, but God, I need you to close some doors in my life because I'm not very good at closing my own door. Is there someone who admit today, God, I need to close some doors? Not as popular as open doors. I get it. Maybe today you're saying, God, I need protection at my door. There's a war at the door of my mind. In fact, God, I'll be honest enough to say I'm dying at the door. God, I just need you. I'm going to give you full permission over my mind. God, I'm not going to allow the enemy in my dining table. I'm not going to allow the enemy into my bedroom. I'm not going to allow the enemy into these spaces that he wants to wreak havoc. If you're saying, God, I need help, I need protection at the door of my mind, just lift up your hand right now. God wants to give you mental strength. We talk a lot about mental health, and rightly so, but I believe that we need to talk more about mental strength. The joy of the Lord is your mental strength. The joy of the Lord. He wants to pour his strength into those areas of your life. So let us pray. Father, we come to you. And we ask you, Father, that you would open closed doors in our lives. We've tried to push them, kick them. We've tried everything to open them, but nothing's changed. So, Father, right now we give you, King Jesus, permission, full permission to open the doors which need to open in our lives. I pray for ancient doors that would open, Father God. Maybe someone's been desiring to be married for so long and they've almost given up, but God, you are giving them a fresh faith and determination today to see an open door for a partner, a good Christian partner to walk into their lives. We give you permission today, King Jesus, to open doors in our lives. Father, we, as hard as it is, we give you permission right now to close doors. God, we ask for your divine plan over our master plan. Your divine plan right now for our lives. We've plotted it out and we've put the things where we think should be, Lord, but you have the authority to come in and change everything. So, Lord, maybe there's a contract that we're about to sign, yet the divine plan says, I've got something better. Maybe we're about to let someone go and the divine plan is keep hold. Maybe we're about to keep hold and the master divine plan is let go. But God, we give you, King Jesus, permission to close every door which needs closing in our lives. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God, that you are the protector of our minds. You are the protector. And Father, we pray right now that you would keep evil away from our door in Jesus' name. Satan, you have no right. We are children of God. You have no right in our family, at our dining tables, in our bedrooms. You have no right. King Jesus, you have full authority in my mind, in my home. Come on, we got to take authority, which is rightfully ours, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sing it one more time. I want us to do some homework this week. I want us to pray this prayer every morning, and if you want to in the evening as well before you go to sleep, I want you to pray this prayer over you and your family. Is that okay? Because I believe there's authority in these words. Okay, it's going to come up on the screen. I'll read a line, then you read a line. Is that okay? Now, we're not in a library. This isn't a library. Faith comes by... I want you to be able to hear yourself. Okay? I want you to activate your faith. Well, John, I'm not really into this. I saw you at football. And you look very into that. Okay? The Brits are not reserved. We're not. We're just reserved in church because of our heritage. We need to break out some of that. Make a joyful noise. Shout unto God. So, we're going to say this with faith, with gusto. We're going to say it with passion, and we're going to declare it over us, our loved ones, our family members. Are you ready? Today, I give King Jesus full permission to be my Lord and my doorkeeper. I boldly declare that new doors are opening before me that no man can shut, and ancient doors will be lifted up. The Lord is my doorkeeper, and the enemy will not have my marriage, my home, my family, my children, my business, and my health. I'm moving from brokenness to wholeness, from poverty to blessing, from sickness to health, in Jesus' name. Man is not in charge of my door. The devil is not in charge of my door. The Lord is my doorkeeper. I speak the blood of Jesus over every door in my life. Amen. Come on, let's declare it. Hallelujah.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you said yes to Jesus today by saying the salvation prayer, we'd love for you to email connections@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision you've just made. And if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, head to soulchurch.com. And don't forget to stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching @soulchurchuk. Take care and God bless.